This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's show are as follows. New cyber warfare. We're going to talk about Uber CEO quitting President Trump's business council. We'll talk about Tesla's CEO staying in Trump's business council. We're going to talk about some amazing war bots. This is pretty crazy stuff. We're also going to talk about an incredibly dangerous WordPress security issue. And we're going to also cover hackers paying for insider information. And we've got a lot more. I mean, this is going to be a smoking hot show. I'm telling you straight up, this has got the best lineup I've seen in weeks. So we've got all that. Plus, again, of course, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1175 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, February 2nd, Groundhog Day. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. And listeners just like you, great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And you can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider or PayPal.me/GeekNews. Pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/OhanaStore. Hey, want to give a warm, warm welcome to all the brand new listeners of the show. Thank you for being here. Thank you for subscribing. And if you're not subscribed, it's real easy to solve that. All you got to do is take a jump over to the website, get over to GeekNewsCentral.com, and when you're over on the website, you're going to see right on the right-hand column, place to subscribe on iTunes, Android, via email, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or an RSS feed. And if you don't know what any of that means, just click on More Subscribe Options, and we give you instructions on how to subscribe to the show. A little bit further down the website, you're going to find a link for the newsletter. Get signed up for the newsletter. That takes you, basically gets you the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. So definitely get hooked up with the Ohana here. Become part of the family. And if you have comments on today's show, it's real easy. Email me, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, @geeknews, join our Slack chat channel. And we continue to add people little by little. Send me an email and say I want to be part of the Slack channel, and I'll get you added. You can follow on Google Plus or on Facebook. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or on the Apple TV, but just by searching for Geek News Central. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, watch, or play this show audio-wise on Blueberry.com. And, of course, if you have a Google Home device, oh, it's listening right now. It's listening to me. You can tell Google Home to play the podcast and then this show's name. It's listening. It's over here spinning, waiting for me to go. I guess I'm watching the Google Home over here in the corner. But don't forget about our partner shows, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, Health Tech Weekly with Mr. Jamie Davis, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, of course, my Pro Gear site, which is taken care of by my Geek News Central writing team. And, of course, we want to thank our longtime sponsor of the show, GoDaddy.com, for being the sponsor of the podcast and really helping us keep the lights on and keeping the family fed and insurance paid. You know how much my insurance went up when my wife picked up this new car? I'm calling around. Geico is not saving me 15% anymore. It feels like I'm paying a 25 or 50% premium. I'm just shocked at what my insurance has cost me at this point. But, man, oh, man, it just sucks. They get you one way or the other, don't they? But anyway, to help pay that insurance bill, we want you to think about if you're looking for a web hosting account, a domain name, if you're trying to revamp your business, to get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and check out all my deals. They're there. Promo codes are listed. 30% off on new product purchases, 99cent.coms. We've got economy hosting and managed WordPress hosting, both of those for $1 a month for the first year. $12 to get started. Includes a free domain. So, like, you know, domain name goes like for $829.com. So, you know, you're basically getting a year's worth of hosting and a domain for $4. You know, that's the end cost. You know, definitely check out what the price is going to be after the promotion's over. We don't want you to get any sticker shock. So, you know, look at that close. But, you know, also, those of you that have the businesses, think about GoDaddy website builder. But I'm really recommending the two products, the Economy Hosting and the Managed WordPress Hosting. That keeps the lights on here. Those accounts. So definitely check those out. Those 30% off deals are great. If you're looking at a big server, a virtual dedicated server, one of their cloud products, you name it, use that code, okay? And definitely want to thank GoDaddy. I haven't got January's numbers yet, but I'm pretty confident things are going to be great. We're heading into February. Oh, you know, it's already February 2nd. Isn't that crazy? So, you know, if you've been sitting on the fence, here's, fellas, I recommended this to you last year. You didn't listen. Some of you didn't. Some of you did, and you came out a winner. So those of you that are married, and I don't know if the single fellows want to do this or not, but, you know, pick up a domain that has you and your wife's name or something with honey in it or valet, you know, something that is going to be something unique for both of you. And then set up a WordPress site and make it a pictorial website. And then take pictures from your wedding, your engagement, dates you were on, vacations you were on, and make a online site just for you and the missus. And, of course, deliver that with the roses and chocolate and give her a place to show off to her friends. And she can add pictures later, too. You can make it private behind a password. This is a cool way to kind of do something cute for Valentine's Day. And be a geek at the same time and get your feet wet playing around with websites. They got 100 different or 1,000 different templates to choose from. So there's something there for every occasion. So definitely check it out. Think about that. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy is the place to go to hook yourself up with the right code to save a big amount of cash at GoDaddy.com. We want to thank GoDaddy for, again, being a longtime sponsor here of this show. Now, you know, I posted something on my Facebook page 2 days ago. One got a whole bunch of comments. It was 60, 70 comments. It was about an interview request I had. And then another one was I basically talked about, you know, and I'm reminiscing, and I don't know why, because we're not near an anniversary show. We're not near a rollover show where we're going to, like, 1,300 or 1,200 or something like that. But, you know, this, and those of you who've been with us with me since the beginning, and many of you have, or near the beginning, you know, I just can't say this enough. GoDaddy has played an incredible role. You know, and Citrix GoToMeeting also helped, but primarily GoDaddy, all these years supporting the show and allowing me the flexibility to be able to do the show, bring it to you, and do everything else I do in the podcasting space, really the genesis of really everything what really led to us having a team of 12 and all this stuff that we did came from a single phone call after really the first month of advertising GoDaddy did on the show, and we were going through the renewal process and renegotiating some rates. And, you know, a good friend of mine now, she doesn't run the podcasting part at GoDaddy anymore, but she's much higher in the food chain. A lady by the name of Chris Redlinger, said, "Hey, Todd, we had a great month. Do you know anybody else that, wants to advertise GoDaddy on their podcast?" And I'm like, "Let me get back to you on that." And that was really the genesis of everything that we did commercially in the podcasting space. This show has always stayed the same, stayed separate. GoDaddy's been a sponsor here, but really, they're responsible for all the other stuff that happened and making me realize there was a business model and everything else. So I did a little Facebook tribute to Chris, and I would do me a big favor, okay? If you're not on my Facebook page very often, that's okay. Facebook.com/Cochran. Scroll down till you find the note and just tell Chris thanks in the comments. Just make a comment and tell Chris thanks. She's following the thread already. She had already said thanks back. But I want all of you to basically tell her thanks. And that will make my day. She's a hero for me. And, my God, they've been with us for, you know, continuously since you know, July of 05. And so in other words, hey, thanks for GoDaddy, and a little bit of tribute to Chris, a little trivia here. Okay, moving on, yours truly, I'm going to the gym every day that there is not a show. And so far, I'm doing okay, not losing a lot of weight. And there's a phone ringing somewhere, and no one's answering it. in my house, if you guys can hear it in the background. But anyway, so the goal is 40 pounds in 1 year. We'll see it when this is going to, but the main thing is I'm getting some exercise and working out and spending about an hour 15 at the gym and doing a variety of different things. So the goal is to be with you guys a lot longer and not stroke out or anything like that. So, and hopefully, you know, fix the rubber tire here that's around my gut. Okay. Busy week. Busy. Before we get into the full tech stuff, and I mean, we got a great show lineup for tonight. It is, I've been taking a lot of calls from businesses that are looking for some really complex podcast solutions. And we've got a great platform, and just, man, the calls are coming, and, you know, so my brain has been like blowing up as I put my, you know, my programmers to researching and figuring out what it's going to cost to employ this. And so it's an exciting time. Things are moving. That said, I've been wanting to do a vlog, and I've started a few projects, but I haven't really gotten too much done. Just been slammed. So as I had said about the vlog before, the new YouTube channel I set up, it's going to be when I can put stuff up, and that's the way it's going to be. We're almost done with the CES content. Can you believe that? It's almost all up. I think there's some outstanding articles still, but I had one writer check in and said, everything that I've assigned to me, I'm done. So there's a few more, but there was like 40, 41, 42. So I'll go through, and I got to double check and see where we're at in the stack, but we're close to all of it being up there. Hey, as I mentioned, today's Groundhog Day. Also, today is the birthday of my grandmother who passed away a number of years ago, but it's always February 2nd. I always can kind of, you know, it's just one of those remembrance days, easy for me to remember her birthday and her influence on me, which, believe it or not, folks, a lot of her, a lot that comes out of my mouth is because of her. All right, so that's it. Let's get out of here and let's get into the stack. But got a great show lined up for you. Now, as a reminder, on Monday, I'm going to come in here hot and heavy because I will not be getting today, no problem. My wife took my son to soccer practice. But Monday, it's my turn, and I will roll out of there about probably around 6:45 and race home, and the show probably will start a little bit later. On Monday, won't be live as early as we are now. But I want to start off today's show and talk, you know, a little bit about some stuff that's going on in the tech space. We all heard about what happened at Berkeley yesterday and the protests that turned violent. And I don't know if there was interlopers or whatever happened, but a lot of tensions, right? Well, you see a lot of stuff on the news, but what's happening behind the scenes is even more interesting. And I got turned on to an article today over at CNET. We talk about tech companies' newest, basically, target. And not necessarily the tech companies themselves are targeting this company. But many of you, of course, understand who Breitbart is. And not going to go into their politics, but you know, they're a news site and they do what they do. But online ad sales aren't something that typically captures our imagination, right? You see a banner ad on the website. But throw in corporate shaming with some political wrangling, and the topic gets downright interesting. So, according to CNET, after the election of the president, a secretive organization called Sleeping Giants popped up on Facebook and Twitter. Its mission was to stop websites, and they actually call them racist websites, by stopping their ad dollars. Sleeping Giant's main target has been Breitbart News. And so what they've been doing is this movement of people are basically shaming, and so far they've shamed 820 companies into blocking their ads on Breitbart's website. So they include big brands like Kellogg, BMW, Visa, as well as a dozen tech companies, including Autodesk, Lenovo, HP, Okoda, Vimeo, T-Mobile parent company, Deutsche Telekom, ride-hailing company, Lyft, but companies that aren't responding to the shaming so far are Uber, AT&T, and a few others, HP, haven't responded. But this is we've all heard about television shows being targeted for, advertisers, the television advertising being targeted, the talk show host, conservative radio, Rush Limbaugh, and all those folks, they've been targeted before by campaigns to try to get advertisers to pull out of advertising a specific show. So a lot of these websites, and I don't know Breitbart's business model at all, but if you have 820 companies that are blocking or preventing their ads from being loaded on that website, you effectively cause them to, well, lose some money, right? They're not going to get as much revenue because they end up with ads on the website that may not be paying as much. So a lot of these groups, they live and die by their number of page views and number of ads that are loaded and number of ads that are clicked on. I don't know, based upon the fan base that Breitbart has, if they get in trouble, I'm sure they can ask their base to donate and they'll probably not have an issue. But the smaller sites that may not have the followership of a site like them, if they were so targeted, would have big, big trouble. So what you say and what you produce online does have consequences. So we run a tech show here, right? So, I try to be careful and be an equal opportunity basher when applicable to both parties and call stuff out on a tech standpoint. And, we try to make it tech related. We don't do the, but I just thought this was interesting that these folks have done this. Now, we've heard about other activities like companies saying we're not going to spend money in a certain state and blah, blah, blah. And even California has banned some business in some states. And it's interesting to watch how this is all developing. A lot of dollars in play and a lot of dollars trying to be removed from the playing field. So this is, and I knew that this had been done before for television and for radio. This is the first time I've ever heard it being done against a website. And I'm not surprised. But they get a bunch of people on Facebook and they have a whole bunch of people say, you need to send an email to this company. Here's the email address and complain that you're advertising on this website. And all of a sudden the company's bombarded with 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 emails, even though it might be a campaign. Most companies, when they get that deluge of emails, they're just going to say, it's not worth it. It's not worth being shamed out. We'll just pull the advertising from a site. That's what they do. So anyway, that is kind of this new thing, this new cyber warfare that's going on in the space, and it's all wrapped around the political sphere. So kind of interesting move, yeah, on what's going on. Now, we know that, if we go back to last week, or was it last weekend or whenever, they had the big demonstrations in New York, specific, I think, at JFK, and Uber was called out, and Lyft saw a big jump in the number of people using their app, and people said, no more Uber ever, some sort of a campaign because they were still servicing a JFK when the taxi cab drivers boycotted and it was strike jumping or whatever they want to call it. So Uber, man, they had a huge, huge PR issue on their hands. So Uber's in damage control. Big time. So to me, I'm just going to call a spade a spade. Uber today said he's going to quit, that he's going to quit Trump's business council. He had to. He had no choice. His board of directors probably said, we need you off that board. We're losing market share. This is costing us millions of dollars a day because, you know, our reputation's been tarnished because we were, you know, looked to be opportunists and doing strike jumping and all this stuff. So he had no choice but to pull out, right? Because of this big upswell of Nevermore Uber or whatever the actual hashtag was. And it was a, you know, it was a big impact. And so I thought it was interesting today that the news came out that he had pulled out. Now, at the same time, with the 200,000 account deletions that convinced Uber CEO to end his tenure on the President's Economic Advisory Council, Elon Musk is not leaving. The Tesla SpaceX CEO tweeted that at tomorrow's meeting of the Advisory Council, and he and others will express our objections to the recent executive order on immigration, offer suggestions for to change the policy. So they can go in and talk with the president and make some suggestions, and, you know, we'll see what happens. But so now, and we already talked about in a couple of shows ago about how there was this this article that was written that was very underhanded, that was trying to undermine Elon Musk. So we'll see what develops over the next couple of days. I don't know. It'll be very, very interesting. I'm sure those are going to buy a Tesla are going to want to buy one no matter what. And maybe some won't. You know, maybe Tesla sales will be hurt too. So time will tell. But it's definitely an interesting dynamic that we have right now. So anyway, I'm going to move on. interesting cyber warfare, yes. I think it's an interesting, a lot of pressure being put on in this digital age. Okay. I want to talk about, this is something I normally never cover, but I found three articles today that talked about something called a war bot. In Iraq and Afghanistan and a variety of other places, police officers are targeted. Law enforcement is targeted over there with suicide bombers, people blowing up cars, you name it. They often get ambushed. There's, you know, false report made. They go and, you know, they're really targets for execution. Well, an Iraqi man, and his name is Ali Hasham al-Dajari, better known by the nickname of Abu Ali, has been building what he describes as war bots, and he's been building them with spare parts and remote-controlled vehicles that do everything from typical things that bots do and go and examine a package for a potential bomb, or but he's gotten even more creative by like having a robot that has a RPG launcher on it, or one that has a machine gun mounted in it, so that they basically can remote control these vehicles into areas that maybe where they could be subject for crossfire or anything else. But I found this article to be really incredible, largely because they're just building them out of spare parts, stuff that they find in the junkyards and stuff that they can collect and refurbish. This is nothing that they're doing in mass, but it's a way for them to try to protect themselves and not be exposed so much, and using a lot of the stuff that's obviously being used by police departments and I would assume military in the United States being used overseas. So he's, you know, taking a lesson out of their playbook. But it goes beyond that. This is really even more crazy, because I found this article talking about a joint project that between the Army and the Marine Corps. The Army's working on a way to get resupplies on the ground in 30 minutes. So if you got guys that are in harm's way and there's not a helicopter to get something in, where they need to get ammunition or maybe even get a stretcher in to get someone out, they're developing what's called a hover bike. It's a flying bike officially known as a JTRV, which stands for the Joint Tactical Aerial Resupply Vehicle. It began as a Kickstarter project by Malo Aeronautics and quickly became a joint project between the Army and the Marines. Developers are trying to give it a range up to 125 miles, but currently the goal is about 30 minutes max flight time. So you have to be relatively close, up to 800 pounds. But so if you have something relatively cheap that can get in, land, they can unload supplies, get maybe an injured man out where the helicopter maybe couldn't get in, this is brilliant what they're coming up with. So this is using UAV technology to potentially save lives, resupply, bring in food, and they don't even have to be under hostile fire. It could be just send me some chow. we're tired of eating MREs. Load up some warm food and, fly it in from a remote site and the guys can, eat a warm meal. So we'll see. But this is just another thing. And so I kind of lumped it underneath this Warbot kind of theme tonight. But it gets even more extreme. You guys remember that walking dog? It looked like a dog that kind of walked around. It was really kind of clumsy a couple of years ago. Well, Boston Dynamics have leaked a video of this thing is like straight out of your nightmare. When you see this thing walking around, you're like, that's creepy. It's weird. But they have really improved their, I think they originally called it a walking dog. A robot, but this thing, I'm just telling you, any of you into robotics, you're going to have to see this video, and I'm waiting for an ad to go away. Come on, don't killing me here. Let me close it. Big pop-up ad in the middle of the screen. So this is over on Extreme Tech, and it's an 8-minute video, and if you want to see where robotics has gone, you got to watch this video. I was originally kind of like, that's really weird. That's strange. And then it's climbing stairs. It's falling over and it's getting stood back up by itself. And there's all kinds of stuff going on. And then they show a robot that is actually picking boxes up. It looks like a skeletal design where they're training a robot to walk around and, do manual labor stuff. They're kicking a box around, making the robot go follow it. This stuff is, the robot evolution is coming. It won't be too long that the folks working in Amazon warehouses, the robots are coming. I know there's already a lot of robotics being used in warehouses, but it's going to get even more crazy. It really, really is. So, let me see if I can show you this one. Will this show up on there? For those of you watching, if you see the video on the screen, it's just a GIF, but it just gives you an idea. It's totally bizarre. But anyway, that just tripped my trigger tonight when I saw that. And those of you that are geeks out there, you're going to just absolutely go crazy. Over this. Hey, Shauna, welcome to the show tonight. And those of you that are on YouTube as well, welcome to the show. All right, last week, WordPress released version 4.7.2, and they did it on January 26th as a security update, but the accompanying release notes only mentioned fixes for 3 moderate risk vulnerabilities, one of which did not even affect the platform's core code. Today, a WordPress security team disclosed that a 4th vulnerability, much more serious than the others, was also patched in version 4.72. The vulnerability was discovered by researchers from web security firm Scurry and was reported privately to the WordPress team on January 20th. It's located in the platform's REST API, the application programming interface, and allows authenticated attackers to modify the content of any post or page within a WordPress site. This is huge. So if this is in the wild, please, if you haven't updated your WordPress site, get her done. You've been warned. You can have your WordPress site automatically update now. You don't even have to do it manually. And if your WordPress site is not manually, automatically updating, you need to ask your hosting provider why. One thing that we, and I don't know if Angela even wants me saying this, we had concerns as we were deploying some of our product line about the REST API code and the security thereof. Nothing specifically at the time, but so many people are working on these interfaces that if one person makes a mistake and it's not caught by the programming team, it can really ruin your day. The WordPress developers reached out to security companies that maintain popular web applications so that they could deploy protection rules against the exploits. And they contacted large WordPress hosting companies, advised them how to implement protections for it. And so if you've got a 4.7 or 4.71 version of WordPress, and you see that you've got an update waiting, please, please update it today, okay? If you don't, you may be sorry. I'm going to be straight up. You could be compromised. We all hope that our company employees are loyal. I think for the most part, most companies don't have a lot to worry about. But there's always someone looking to make a buck and maybe not care so much about the company they're working for. Hackers are seeking company insiders on the black market. Researchers are noticing a growing activity from an online black market dealers trying to recruit company insiders for cybercrime. So if you're the IT guy or a CIO or CEO, this is another threat you have to worry about. Researchers at security firm Red Owl in Insights have noticed a growing activity from online black markets. The dealers appearing on underground forums located on the dark web, which are accessible through Tor, a browser designed for anonymous web surfing. Hackers in these underground forums have been looking for employees to collude in insider trading to make educated stock market bets. One site has been helping members engage in this illicit activity and garnered more than 40 Bitcoin. So basically, they're charging people about $1,000 to join the group. Then the group folks, the money that's being collected is an additional cash is being used to pay off company employees for insider information where they can make wise stock purchase decisions in order to manipulate the market. According to the group's manager, there are members who make more than $5,000 a month using the leaked information. The research reported said membership in the forum, however, requires a $995 fee. The administrators of another forum dedicated to the illicit activity claims to be a former European IT entrepreneur who tried to create a well-selected community to exchange insider information on publicly traded companies. Hackers are also recruiting employees in the retail sector to help them make purchases with stolen credit cards. Researchers have found one wanted ad in a dark web forum for a retail cashier to make an iPhone 6 purchase in exchange for £100. In other cases, hackers have been found trying to arm insiders with cyber tools to help them steal data or commit fraud. So now you have hackers, instead of doing the hard work and hacking computers on their own, they're just paying off disgruntled employees to get them access and to infect network and to get access to this information that allows these hackers to use that information to make money and maybe even steal from them as well. So, wow. And I guess we shouldn't be surprised, right? Should this be a surprise to any of us that this is going on? I don't think any of us should have a surprise on this in the least. But it does show you what you know, what's going on right now. So I guess company owners beware. All right, we can have a little fun too. You know, set the politics aside. There's a new website that is a executive order generator. You know, the all presidents have been using executive orders. It's nothing new. You know, that presidents have used these executive orders over the years. But someone created an online generator that lets you choose the text that you put on the executive order, and it will create a picture for you. Because the president's signing these executive orders, and he's turning them around, and he shows them to the audience. So, of course, someone, you know, Rickrolled him and basically made a website that'll put the message in there. The one on this website: I will not buy this record, it is scratched. I will not buy this tobacconist, it is scratched. How my hovercraft is full of eels, and then it's, you know, got the. So anyway, you can edit, and you can like, okay, I hereby declare Blink 182 the greatest band. Those guys are just great. What's my age again? Is a great song and my personal anthem. Smithers, Release the Hounds. You know, these are just some of the ones that people have. Please send Paul Ryan in with a Diet Coke. You know, so these are some of the stuff that people are creating with with this generator. So, you have to give people a little bit credit for having a sense of humor. Yeah. Oh, man. We knew that Faraday was going to have some trouble because of the financial situation they're in. But Faraday Future doesn't seem to have an end in sight. According to Reuters, the company is making drastic changes to the production roadmap. They're only going to build two more vehicles to demo or whatever the plan is. And they're only going to build a 650,000 square foot building versus a 3 million square foot plant in Nevada. Their road ahead is very, very hard. Very, very hard. But we wish them luck in getting the financial squared away. Hey, NASA, the probe that buzzed Pluto has fired an engine for a 2019 flyby of its next target. So a 44-second burn occurred yesterday, and changing the velocity of the New Horizons spacecraft by 1 mile per hour. And that, over 23 months, will reduce or basically change the distances traveled by 6,000 miles, setting up. Now, you think about this thing, where it's at, how far it's out. They did a 44-second burn to reduce the speed a mile per hour, and they think right now, based upon all their calculations, they're going to have like an 1,800-mile close approach. And they're going to refine this. They're going to do some more burns as they get closer. But they're headed towards 2014 MU69 is the rock that they're headed towards. So I just, you know, I have to give the big eggheads over there at NASA some kudos for doing the math on this. Down in Australia, the ASCAP, ASKAP, Australian Square Kilometer Array platform, has just basically been turned up and started to do scientists. The ASCAP is made up of 36 identical 12-meter-wide dish antennas that all work together, 12 of which are currently in operation. They're going to be adding like 19 more this season. But check this out. These 12 satellites, okay, if you think buying stock and hard drives is important, listen to this. These antennas are churning out 5.2 terabytes of data per second. That's about 15% of the internet's current data rate. They're pulling in that much data. They're looking at a big sky picture, and right now they're trying to map hydrogen in a big part of the sky. How many what does it look like to store that kind of data? You know, what can they turn it on for, like 60 seconds? Is that all they can turn it on? You know, it's amazing. It really, really is. So a pretty cool article. I'll have the link up in the show notes. But wow, really amazing. NASA's Jupiter probe made its fourth flyby of the giant planet. So passed as close as 2,700 miles away. Today, these pictures will be forthcoming. So scientists are excited about that. Also in space news, SpaceX has test fired its first Falcon 9. It landed on a barge. So this is the second test of basically a booster that they've tested. So what the plan is they're getting one ready. And supposedly in April of 2017. What is the date? Oh, in March. So they're planning on flying a reused booster in March on an actual lift. They're carrying something. They're carrying a payload to orbit. And they got to prove that this first stage is truly reusable. Now, I can't imagine. Can you imagine being the company that is rolling dice on this? But, you know, if they look at the rocket, they go through all the tests, they do the stress, they x-ray the metal, they do everything they have to do to make sure that, you know, it's sound. Why not? You know, reuse the bad boy and, you know, find out where, you know, they're going to find out where their weaknesses are. And they do a couple of these, but that'll make them build them stronger as they're, you know, as they're moving down the road. But exciting stuff. And that'll, what if they, you know, what if they launch it and recover it? That'll even be bigger, right? You know, I've got a, Marlo Anderson is a, you know, I've talked about him on the show. He does a tech ranch. He has been right up in the middle where they live of all this protest about the pipeline. And did you guys see the fake photo of it was said where police were brutalizing the natives of the Dakota Access Pipeline? Those were fake pictures. I don't know how many people got sucked in, but more fake news. So someone, you know, did some, you know, photoshopping and to try to make it look like that they were burning down teepees. Fake news at its best. All right, a hacker's dumped iOS cracking tools allegedly stolen from Celebrant. So what they've actually found out is this is the Israeli company that got hacked, and they had 900 gigs of data that was downloaded from their servers. What they found was a lot of the tools that they've been selling law enforcement and agencies had very close, similar signatures to a lot of stuff that was out there available that people had released openly to the web. And a lot of it had telltale code in it. So it looked like a lot of the stuff that they were selling to law enforcement was just basically reworked code someone else had already done. And they patched it up in a nice little pretty package and, you know, probably charged millions of dollars for it. So, you know, these guys have got big cojones to do that. But the tools have been dumped online and everyone's having a quick look. So if you're, you know, companies like this, they're going to get outed. You know, people are going to go in and hack that stuff. They're going to pull that out. They're going to put it in the public domain. You know, it's got to have some serious firewalls to stop some of the stuff that's going on today. You're going to love this. And this is a sign of the times here. So let me just hold on to your hat. Comcast is totally down with you using a Roku to watch Xfinity cable. But there's a catch. It's going to cost you. Comcast has kicked off a beta program that will let customers watch TV on their Roku hardware, but only if they pay extra. They haven't said how much. They haven't said how much it's going to cost you. Customers will also be able to use the app when they're at home and have a Comcast Xfinity-enabled cable modem, TV box, or cable car device such as a TiVo. But the Roku cannot be your primary cable box for the Xfinity service. The app will, however, prove useful for customers who want to connect a second TV to Xfinity TV service without the need to rent or hook up a second or third cable box from Comcast. So this is a fallout a little bit from some of the stuff that we may have gotten if there had not been a change of command at the FCC. But they're willing to let you use it, but you got to pay. Surprise, surprise, surprise. All right. Science fiction author Isaac Asimov famously predicted that we will one day have to program robots with a set of laws that protect us from our mechanical creations. I think we've seen some of that in the Westwood series, but there has been a document that was released today, and I believe who were some of the folks, there's just a huge list of Stephen Hawking's one of the endorsers, and Elon Musk is on this list. So there's a huge number of people that's talking about AI principles. So they break it down into research issues, ethics and values, long-term issues. And for research issues, they start out talking about research goals, research funding, science policy leak, research culture, and race avoidance. Ethics and values, they talk about safety, failure, transparency, judicial transparency, responsibility, value alignment, human values, personal privacy, liberty and privacy, shared benefit, shared prosperity, human control, non-subversion, and AI arms race. And then they break it down into longer term issues like capability, caution, importance, risk, recursive self-improvement, common good. So what they're trying to do is come up with principles that, for example, failure, transparency. If an AI system causes harm, it should be possible to ascertain why. Judicial transparency. An involvement by an autonomous system in judicial decision-making should provide a satisfactory explanation audible by a competent human authority. So, you know, they're trying to lay down some ground rules on AI development and making sure that, just like in the Terminator, the machines don't turn against us. This is interesting what they've come up with. How about an on-off switch? You know, like on a treadmill, when you're running on a treadmill, they've got that little safety cord that if you goof up and fall off the treadmill will shut down. And you don't get caught up in it and get, you know, jacked up. Maybe one of those cords on anything that's AI. You just reach over there and tug it. Of course, if the AI is really smart, they can disable that safety bypass. So that therein lies the trouble. Anyway, I have the link up in the show notes. Hey, Tim Cook says there's exciting things coming for the iPad. What that means, who knows? We'll see. But there's a good article from a guy called The Pogue Review. And I'm not familiar with this guy, but his video is pretty good. And he talks about the MacBook Pro and cons on his upgrade to a 13-inch MacBook Pro. Talks about things he's had to do, cables he's had to buy, things how he saved money, what's worked, what hasn't, and so forth. So definitely, this is a good read for any of you there on the fence for a MacBook Pro, or good listen to see what this guy's real world experience is. At the same time, there's the folks over at 9to5 Mac did a poll. It said, what's the one thing you wish would have come with your new MacBook Pro? Number one, with 37% of the vote, MagSafe, some form of magnetic charging. Number two, SD card, 17.6. 16% wants a USB-A. 12% wanted HDMI. 10.97% said they're content with USB-C. 3% wanted Ethernet. 2.18% they wanted a mini display port. So that kind of breaks it down. But MagSafe, SD card, and a USB-A port was really the majority of the wish list items. So you're just going to have to wait for some of the the additional products that are coming out on the market to expand your Mac. That's what's going to happen. Hey, I want to just make a reminder to all of you that the more technology we use and the more apps we use, as you're using them, every once in a while, review the settings in your iPhone to see which ones you've turned on to give location information. You know, your cell phone records everything, and these apps tie into it and pull your information for everything. I've got browsers now asking me for location information. Facebook asks me for location information. I say no to all that. So just remember that as you're out there using your mobile devices, okay? If you use WhatsApp, they're testing a feature to revoke messages you sent by mistake. I'd like to have that actually work in iMessage. I think that would be pretty slick if that actually worked. Most of the time, that thing doesn't, you know, you can try to recall an email and it's gone. I mean, Gmail gives you like 60 seconds to, you know, keep from email from sending, but, you know, a text message usually not. All right. There's a game that I guess is being used a lot in colleges, and it uses Google Maps as an overlay. It's called GeoGuessr, and it's you can play it by yourself, you can play with your family, and basically what the game does, and you just load it up on a laptop or a notebook or a tablet. It drops you someplace in the planet. Now you can move along the road back and forth, but the goal is for you to figure out where you are on the planet. And again, you have to collect cool clues and you have to set the rules amongst you. If you want to be able to Google stuff, they maybe assign you saw. And it assigns points by how close you are from the actual point in which it dropped you. So it's pretty cool. GeoGuessr. GeoGuessr. So GeoGuessr, and pretty cool game, fun to play with the family. All right, Amazon, wow, man, oh man, they're just knocking it out. Amazon is now worth more than America's 8 largest retailers combined, with a current market cap of $390 billion. The Seattle-based retailer is now worth more than the top 8 traditional brick-and-mortar retailers combined. It's just huge. That's an impressive and it's even astonishing feat. No doubt that, you know, Jeff Bezos really knocked this thing out of the ballpark, you know, forming the company in 1994 in his garage. With that, and actually, did I have this? Let me slide this down here. I thought I had these all lined up. I got to skip down here. I'm going to talk about, I'll come back to it. I'll talk about Amazon's earnings in a few minutes. I thought I had everything lined up, but they're 8th largest retailer combined. A little bit of news out of Ars Technica. The FCC Republicans argue against more federal broadband subsidies. This just should irritate all of us a little bit. The FCC Commissioner member Michael O'Reilly is not a fan of calls to increase federal spending on broadband subsidies. Now, luckily, that's his opinion. And luckily, the Republican group are in favor of continuing the subsidies. So they got broad, both Republican and Democrat support to continue moving forward with funding. So, hopefully this guy's opinion doesn't get in the way and we can still continue to get broadband rollout in rural America. That's where penetration sucks. You know, it's our density is like 35 people per kilometer. If you look at the average of human density across the United States, compared to like Korea, 519. Of course, Korea's beating our butts big time in broadband speed. So we need to make sure that we're able to continue broadband infrastructure spending and basically help those in rural America get high-speed internet. This guy would be wise to keep his mouth shut and help those in those middle part of America that just, you know, cause this election to be flipped on its head to help those folks in those communities that don't have very good broadband. Don't bite the hand that's feeding you. So we'll see where this leads. But definitely, if you are in support of broadband federal subsidies, make sure that you let your representative or senator know that you are behind this, especially those of you that are all, you know, everyone that is not in a big city that listens to this show, those of you that suffer on slow DSL or have a wireless connection that sucks. And, you know, if you're not getting 25 megs because it's not available down, at least 25, you know, you're in this group of people that need to reach out and tell, you know, your representative that you want some help. And, you know, most of you are like a meg and a half, three, that are in these rural communities. You know, your cell phone is being used. My sister, she had two plans. I just can't believe this. I scolded her. She had two Verizon plans that were unlimited. She wasn't using an overly large amount of bandwidth. She wasn't in this, like, the category where they're calling you to bug you. But she got on the phone with a Verizon rep, and they talked her into switching her plan. On one of her phones. Mic drop. I just couldn't. I'm like, sis. And the words I used, I can't even say on this show. I couldn't say it on this show. I'm like, beep, 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 beep. You know, I'm like, why did you do that? They weren't trying to up your rate. They were arming you to get you off. And so now she went with a huge monster plan, paying a huge monster bill. Please, if you're not hitting like that 200 gig level or wherever they're like forcing you to move, don't let these mobile companies move you off an unlimited plan until they absolutely force you. I had told her again and again, you got something special here. Don't blow it. Absolutely astonished. Absolutely astonished. Is she okay? Yeah. You're with me, right? You couldn't believe it. So, yeah, she needs to get on the phone now and call her representative and say, I want high-speed broadband out here, so I'm not paying Verizon, you know, $500 a month for my mobile phone. I don't know what her bill is. I just imploded. Nintendo has sold 1.5 million NES classic consoles. Sales would have been even higher if they weren't for supply shortages. So I don't even know if they're still available. If you can still get them, they still remain scarce. So we'll see if they become available. I want one. If any of you see one on sale somewhere, let me know. I'm sure they'll be easier to get as time goes on. But speaking about the mobile companies, you know, AT&T is downright giddy about a weaker FCC oversight and a looming death of net neutrality. They're just chomping at the bit. It's going to be better choices for Americans. You know what that means. More expensive and less choices. So I don't think there's anything we can do about net neutrality. I think it's gone. The only thing you can do is call and complain and write letters. On a semi-more positive note, the FCC on Thursday took first step towards eventual rollout of over-air terrestrial 4K television. Just what we need. The FCC published a proposed regulation that will allow TV stations being broadcasting in ATSC 3.0 format. a newer version of the digital transmission format used today. ATS 3.0 uses an IP data stream, so it's more flexible than current broadcast standards. Using the system's broadcasts can simultaneously send video streams of varying bandwidths and additional streams of data. Proponents of the technology say this would enable 4K broadcasting as a way to rapidly disseminate public safety information. So we'll see where this goes. 4K over the air. I have to give the folks at New Tech some kudos because I follow one of their employees, and he mentioned earlier in the week that he was on his way to Washington, D.C. And they got to Washington, D.C., so I'm having the biggest meeting that I've ever had. And he said, I'm going to the White House. And, about 6-7 hours later, he comes back, and I've had a successful meeting at the White House, mum's the word. And I knew what he was going for. I was the only person in his little chain of comments were like, you've sold the White House a talk show, right? So what talk show is a 4-channel. So those of you that are watching the show right now, I have a 2-channel Skype of sorts here, right? This is a homegrown built unit. For those of you watching, I can have 2 Skype people call in, like we'll have this coming Saturday for the new media show. I got Robin a guest on, and I can have 2 in here at once. Well, the talk show, you can have 4. And the interface is very obvious. You can tell it's a talk show interface. And lo and behold, they took a picture of behind the scenes of the production team. And what do I see? I see a talk show switcher, and I saw the talk show 4-panel lineup. So congratulations to New Tech for getting a talk show into the White House press briefing room. And at the same time, going to be able to now already taking questions from reporters around the country. I saw a radio guy. I saw a semi-professional blogger. 2 people from news stations across the country. So again, congratulations to New Tech and them being able to make this deal and get it in there. Great sale for them. And that's some serious bragging rights. Now, I've thought about in this show, or actually in my new media show, of actually installing a talk show here. At some point in the next couple of years, the setup I hear will need to be refreshed. It's just the way things kind of work. I'm going to have at some point to make an investment. The talk show's not necessarily inexpensive. I don't need a 4-channel system. I only need a 2-channel system, and the way the IP set up here would require some major change. But I'm thinking about it, and I'm hoping at some point it goes on sale, and then I'll jump. But currently, that thing has not been on sale, and it's a significant check to write. So we'll see where that leads. But if you want to understand what a talk show does, just search talk show and New Tech, N-E-W-T-E-K. All right, back to Amazon. They are spending money again. Earlier this week, reports shed light on Amazon's plans to build a $1.5 billion air cargo hub in Kentucky. So those of you that are going to be in this area, they're looking at 2,700 jobs to add to that air cargo hub. So those are going to be definitely good paying jobs. The company posted its fourth quarter earnings for 2016, showing a profit of $749 million or $1.50 per share on revenue of $43.7 billion. Both figures are substantially up from the same period last year, sales increasing 22% and profit jumping 55%. However, analysts were expecting about 44.7 for the holiday quarter. The company handedly beat expectations of $1.35 per share. So Amazon likes to make a little money, and they like to spend a lot in continuing to invest in their system. So Prime members can now choose over 50 million items with free 2-day shipping. And I love Prime here in Hawaii, up to 70, except they can't, don't ship me batteries anymore. Amazon, fix that. I can't get battery stuff here. You're going to have to put a warehouse in Hawaii. All right. Because a bunch of stuff I can't order from you anymore. making me very grumpy. But anyway, so huge quarter for Amazon. And one thing that they did announce was their AWS platform, Amazon Web Services, a public cloud provider, that it brought in a little more than $3.5 billion during the fourth quarter, up 47% from the same quarter. But listen to this. Quarterly operating income rose 60% to $926 million. So on $3.5 billion in revenue, they had $926 million in profit. Do the ratio on that. Holy cow. Is that thing a cash machine or what? That is incredible. It really, really is. So good job, Amazon. GoPro, on the other hand, lost $373 million during its just horrible 2016. The company pulled in $540 million in revenue, best quarter ever for GoPro, but a GoPro, about $100 million more than its awful 2015 holiday season. But they've done a bunch of roundoffs, closed departments. They've done a whole bunch of tech stuff. They had an absolute horrible rollout of their drone. It just absolutely failed, which is now back on the market. I don't recommend it. So anyway, GoPro, because they're being challenged. A lot of companies out there making cameras. Don't know if you knew about this, but hackers took over unsecured radio transmitters and they were playing in rotation an anti-Trump song on January 20th. So it was on a whole bunch of radio stations that were controlled by internet IP. It was definitely not a airwave safe song. But hackers got in and took over radio stations. Mozilla gives up Firefox OS and has laid off 20 people. Snapchat has lost $515 million, yet they want to do a $3 billion IPO. How can you be losing money like this every year, but yet apply for an IPO? And, you know, I'm sure people are going to invest in this thing, but you're losing $515 million. You lost like $300-some million last year. And Snapchat's kind of like this thing where mostly kids use it. And you have like funny faces and stuff. Okay. Are they going to spend money? Kids don't have no cash, right? Young adults don't have that much cash. College students are broke. You know, I know there's a number of, you know, hot guys and girls that are using it and, you know, they're doing product demos and all this stuff. But I don't know. I'll probably be wrong, but I don't think I would invest in Snapchat. All right, last final couple articles here tonight. Old phones, the gold within them will become gold medals for the 2020 games in Tokyo. They're going to recycle phones, extract the gold from it, and use the gold that is extracted to make the gold medals for the 2020 Olympic Games, which I thought was pretty cool. Also, if you're a corporate user and you have WebRoot, don't upgrade. Make sure that you, because you may brick your machine if you get an older version. They've had some major problems. So I don't know if I'm really not too familiar with this product, but a lot of companies aren't very happy. All right. I did get an email, or actually, bada bing, bada boom, a comment from Facebook. It came from Joe Fusco. Thanks, Joe, for sending this over. He says, "Hey, Todd, I know how you love astronomy pictures, so let me see if I can load this up." And, oh yeah, this is awesome. Let me bring this up so you can see it in the screen. The other day I found a picture that I hadn't seen in an, okay, so let me see if I can blow this up. Oh, this thing is incredible. All right, so let me show this to all of you. The European Space Organization has released a view of the Cat's Paw Nebula. And yes, it is a very amazing picture. So put that on a 4K monitor and just soak it in. So very, 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 very cool. All right. I think that's going to about do us for today. I think I'm about done, and man, right on time. I didn't think no way I would finish on time today. But Joe, thanks for sending that over. And let's see here, what else? Oh, I got an email from Richard. He says, "Hey Todd, I'm sure you're using it, but in case you're not, I make sure you download the DJI Go 4 app with the Mavic." He says it's a specific app for Phantoms and Mavic. And Richard, I didn't know. So I downloaded that. Bonus, dude. Thanks for sending that over and the heads up on that. So DJI Go 4 is the app if you've got a Mavic or a Phantom. So beautiful. All right. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Thumbs up. Thumbs down. You have a good time. Are we doing the right mix? Not getting too political, but sharing with you the pertinent stuff that's going on. You guys relaxing from Facebook a little bit? I know it looks like it's calmed down just a little bit in the space, at least until tomorrow something crazy happens. But send your comments, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Please tell me who you are, where you're listening from, how long you've been listening. And love to hear your comments. What do you guys think of the CES content? Were all those videos winners or what? I know you're watching them because I'm watching the views rack up. So we're getting some serious traffic to them. So that's the major thing. I'm going to start cross-posting again in Facebook and in YouTube. So some of that stuff will be hitting streams if you're watching over there. But I definitely want to thank you for tuning in today, being part of the Ohana here. And be back with you on Monday. Rushed. Not that rushed. But we definitely won't be starting at 7:30 Hawaiian, probably more like 8 or 8:15. That's just the way the ball bounces. Kid in soccer, and I have the duty on Monday. But I'll do all the show prep on an iPad, and I'll quickly load the stuff up here and get the studio fired up, and we'll be ready to rock and roll. Everyone, thanks for being here. Everyone, take care. See you next time. Aloha.